We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Todd Feinberg, now 2 till 6 on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Hawaiian what? What's a poke bowl? It's
a poke bowl.
Does that mean it's pineapple? Pineapple and quinoa or something?
There can be pineapple in it. Usually it's rice, and then you get sushi in it. It could either, or you could have cooked meats as well. People could put cooked chicken in it.
So whatever junk is left in the fridge, you chop it up and throw it in a coconut.
You could put pineapple,
sip on a straw.
Cucumbers, jalapenos, I put spicy mayo, I usually get tuna.
So far, all you've done is talk about what you can put in it, which makes me, and you listed virtually every food group.
There's different kinds. You can make whatever you want. People put edamame in it. People put ginger in it. People
yeah.
put,
so
you know.
It's a catch-all.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like making a casserole.
Oh, it's
like
better than
stone
casserole.
Soup. Well, I'm not talking about the outcome. I'm talking about the concept. You know, whatever junk you have left in the fridge. There's certain dishes that are just perfect for that. And that's what it sounds like your poke bowl is. You're not buying what I'm saying, or I'm not getting
no,
it.
No, I get it, yeah.
Do you get this at the fruit beverage store in the morning?
No, this is at...
smoothie?
I don't know. A lot of like Vietnamese, Hawaiian, or Japanese fusion type of places would have it. Places that sell sushi usually have it, because they have a lot of raw fish options.
Mm-hmm. All
but
right,
it's good.
I'll keep that in mind. If you want to call when you're sipping on your poke bowl, because it could be all liquefied
lunch.
From the... Oh, you do? Oh, yeah. Okay, that's why you brought it up.
Yeah.
860-522-9842. Larry, did you have your poke bowl?
No, I don't. The last caller Tom had...
Yes?
He was talking by the people for...
Oh, Larry, you're on your pokey cell connection there. Check that, Anthony, see if you can straighten him out. Bill and Granby. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Todd. I wanted to chime in about the conversation that you and Tom were having about the Great Resignation.
Yes.
So what I've seen happen in with the people that I know that are working and are in my circle and orbit and that I've read about is that two major things happened. One is the... When businesses were forced to shut down hair salons and restaurants and such, it gave people the time and space and government income to be able to think about their lives and how they wanted to reorder things. And then when the companies went, when they went remote, a lot of people decided to trade in two lousy jobs that were in person for one good job that was remote that came with benefits. So it
okay.
was like, it was the human resources version of cash for clunkers.
Well. That makes sense, but the part I'm looking for the explanation on is the people, all the jobs that can't be filled and people not applying. People are quitting jobs still.
Yeah, so that's part two, I think, is that I think there's a whole class of people that were forced out of work and they got a taste of these are hardworking people that never went on government assistance before, but they had no choice because of government policy. So they got a taste of Husky healthcare and how good it is, no deductibles, no copay. They for the first time ever had to take advantage of public assistance and did it. in whatever form. There's lots of different ways that it was done. And I think a lot of people just decided that, hey, this, if we've got one person working and we reorder our lives so that we stay home, we only need about 30% as much revenue. And, you know, I could stay on public assistance, and as long as my health care is taken care of, I don't really need that much money to live.
So are you doing this? It sounds like maybe you're specifically familiar with the concept.
Well, I know a lot of people that had to do it. Like, my wife is a stylist, and her salon was shut down. So we went through that with her. She had no choice. She lost 100% of her income.
That part I understand. What I'm talking about is the part where people get used to it and say, you know what? I didn't like my life before, and I didn't even realize it because I was working like a dog for so many years. It just became a habit. And now I've realized we have enough equity in the house or whatever. People must be finding a way to get by other than going on Husky healthcare. You know, well, you do have to have a life, and the economy is booming with people spending money.
Yeah, but Husky is $20,000 a year for family health insurance. It's the biggest nut, right? If you cover a $20,000 a year nut because you can get Husky for free, the rest of the problems are small by comparison.
Well, if you have a job, though, you usually have subsidized health care.
Yeah, but the people that were working those lousy jobs that don't come with benefits didn't have health care, and now they've got Husky.
Yeah.
I'm
not thinking about lousy jobs necessarily, though. I think the numbers are too big. The numbers of people who aren't working reflect, it seems to me, people who've got assets. Not that they're rich people, but they're middle class people. And they've got equity in a home. They've got money they've stashed away for vacations. And they've got, maybe they even have, like, what do they call those work savings plans for healthcare where you put money away for health emergencies? Like, they've got money, and maybe you're right, they've got one. Maybe they're going from two people working to one person working, and they're cutting back. But that seems to me the explanation for what's going on right now.
That part of it's true, but then there's the lower income piece, too. That why, if you're a lower income person and you've been working restaurant jobs, like, look at the jobs that they can't find people to fill. They're low-paying restaurant jobs and such that don't come with benefits. Well, why would those people not work anymore? Because they're doing something else. And the something else that they're doing, I think, is they're getting Husky health care. They've got better health care than they've ever had. And they're doing whatever they can. You know, they're working for cash or doing something else for income, getting public assistance.
Yeah, I don't know why. Why would you do that, though? If you were working before for $12 an hour as a prep cook, say, carrying your hypothesis, and then suddenly you are not working for a while, getting these elevated benefits, and then you run out on the benefits, they stop the extra kick in from the federal government, and then in the meantime, the job you were making $12 doing is paying $20 and offering $2,000 down payments if you come back to work. Why wouldn't you go do that in a second?
Well, most of the jobs aren't offering that kind of a lucrative benefit. And if I can get health care paid for and work under the table, which a lot of those restaurant jobs are under the table jobs anyway, then that's a better proposition than what you just described in some cases.
Well, yes, but that's working. So there could be some people doing that. Thank you, Bill, for the call. There could be some people doing the under-the-table thing for sure, although I don't know, with restaurateurs and all the money coming in now on credit cards, there's no more cash in the world, then you could be audited and they'll know you're paying people under the table no problem because all the money, you know, there's no cash you can hide from the feds, and you can't hide the credit cards, right? Or do I have something wrong there? Larry Bridgeport, hi.
Hi, Todd. You know, Todd, the gentleman who just called, he's talking about that subject, health care, and about not working. And then there's a lot of people talking about the virus and Biden's mandates. You know, I think as all Americans, we really should be somewhat more focused on, in this case, China. You know, President Biden's going to be having a Zoom meeting with the president of, or the premier of China. And I'm a little disturbed by that because I got news for you. This guy in China, he's playing his A game. You know, this is not a stupid person. This is a very shrewd, calculating person who's going to be on that Zoom call. And, you know, I don't know what kind of impression the president's going to give off to him today. You know what I'm saying? If he's going to give off a position of strength and, you know, just being there 100%, you know what I'm saying, in terms of being able to match him wit-wise and conversation-wise. So I think the Chinese have circled on their calendar a date possibly to grab Taiwan in the future. And I don't know if this meeting is going to go very well in terms of them not moving up that date after this meeting, because Americans just don't focus on these kind of things. If they were to grab Taiwan, that would really affect the Wall Street. It would affect a lot of things. It affects supply chains. And I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking outside the box, but mind is that because you look at what's going on with the Uyghurs and the Tibetans in China, and, you know, you look at Hong Kong and what the president there in China is doing. That's an authoritative regime, and it's very disturbing to see what's going on. And Americans really don't understand that this country, that country, China, they want to dominate the world. They want to conquer, in many ways, supply chains. They want to conquer. They want to be able to match us militarily in every way.
And we've been laying down and letting it happen. So
no,
I think you're right to be.
Them.
Well, that's right. All right, Larry, thank you. Got to get to a break. We'll take some more phone calls coming up. 860-522-9842. This is WTIC.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Listen to the podcast on WTIC.com/podcast.
I'm just wondering about this story. This was in the Current Saturday. Americans quit their jobs at a record pace for the second straight month in September. In many cases, for more money elsewhere as companies bump up pay to fill job openings that are close to an all-time high. The Labor Department said Friday that 4.4 million people quit their jobs in September, or about 3% of the nation's workforce. That's up from 4.3 million in August, and far above the pre-pandemic level of 3.6. So part of this is normal transients, people leaving one job, going to the other. But what's new is having people not interested in jobs, having retailers and restaurants and truck drivers and lots of other jobs industries where they simply can't get help. What is going on? That's what I'm trying to figure out. Bob's in Enfield. Hi, Bob.
Hi. I hope I can answer your question. It's not a case of people not interested in jobs. The people are not there. And I'll give you an example. In 1972, when the peak school enrollment in Connecticut, just to give you an example, in Enfield, we had 13,000 in the public schools and 2,000 in the parochial schools. The public schools had 17 elementary schools, 4 parochial elementary schools. We had 2 junior highs, 2 high schools.
But why, comparing to back then isn't the issue. Comparing to pre-pandemic is the issue. We had these jobs filled before the pandemic.
No, what's happened, the companies, people retired at an early retirement age. We're talking about over 500,000 people in Connecticut just alone, but they retired or early were pushed out of the company.
Oh, during COVID, you're saying a lot of people retired?
Yes.
And there's nobody to replace them.
There's only 300,000 people replacing 550,000 people in Connecticut. That's why there's such a job shortage. You can go to a car wash and make $22 an hour.
A worker shortage, yeah.
Guy from Enfield is making $30 an hour. He retired. A company from New Haven recruited him and paid him $54 an hour. He said, well, I got to go now. But I'm not interested in working. That's what's happening. You can make $50 an hour just driving a snowplow.
All right, so you're saying it's the what we're seeing is the attrition of normal retirees and nobody around to replace them because so many people have moved out of Connecticut too. That would be part of the problem.
Well, they're having less babies instead of back in the after the war, people were having 4, 5, 6 children. Now they're only having one, maybe two.
Yeah, that's not relevant though because we're dealing with last year and this year. We're not dealing with 30 years ago and now. So the question is, what happened to those workers? So your idea, okay, a bunch retired, that makes sense. Also, a bunch of people moved out of the state, that's lost workers. It could be that a lot of this. Yeah, go ahead.
But people moved in. You know, Lamont, the Connecticut numbers don't agree with the Census Bureau. Lamont says 70,000 people moved into Fairfield County. Well, there's only a 2,000 increase according to the Census Bureau, not 70,000 like Vermont's.
Yeah, well, in government, they doctor their numbers a great deal. But there also could be a factor of people moving in from Manhattan, which I think drove a lot of this housing growth, and people moving into the state because they were trying to get away from the city. And the city was a scary place a year and a half ago. But those aren't people who'd be looking for jobs necessarily. Paul in Waterbury. Hi, Paul. Yes, Paul. You know, it's funny. He was going to talk about automation. It sounds like this is the Paul droid that we're talking to. Someone's got to power him up.
He's an autopilot.
3, 2.
Yes, Paul. Who is that? Was that Paul? He sounds good.
Yeah, I think that was Paul.
He should have spoken right up. Wow. He didn't know which call he was on.
He was doing his audition for the station.
a different station, I think. He sounds good, though. He's got a good voice. I don't know. I find this fascinating. We did get, Bob had one good idea there, for sure. That there's a ton of retirees without people waiting for their jobs because so many people have been run out of the state of late. You know, in recent years, people have been leaving, not coming. You don't have, and there's people who might not show up in those numbers too, and those are kids who hit age 18, go off to college, and then what happens when they go to college? Well, they don't go to college in Connecticut. They go outside. They go to Boston or they go to New York or they go to Los Angeles. They go someplace cool for kids, Southern California. And they don't come back. I don't know the stats. Who knows how good the government stats are and what they measure? I don't know if young people coming home from college, and if they did decide to move into their parents' homes and get started in a career, and say by some stretch of the imagination they would do that in Connecticut, but that sounds crazy, doesn't it? Who would do that in Connecticut? I mean, we know this is a plague, that it's hard for people to get their kids to come back into the state. And that's one of the big things driving older people out of the state. It's like, well, what are you doing? If you raised your 2 or 3 kids here and they won't move back after college, then you're looking at the cost of living, the taxes. You're looking at the weather. And you say, what are we doing? Honey, what are we doing here? Why are we here? Even for Christmas, the kids won't come. Is that what's going on? It's a fascinating problem. I want to get to the bottom of it, I'll tell you. I do. I want to get to the bottom of it. 860-522-9842. Also, we got some great sound from the Lieutenant Governor, Susan Leibowitz. Perhaps you've heard it. It was on social media. It was all over the place. last few days. I'm sure all the other shows have been playing it too, but it's just, I just want to break it down. It's fascinating. Fascinating. The way they lie. The way they lie. I want to play you some Susan B. and get your reaction, because it's a lesson in political stupidity, arrogance, deception, manipulation, all those things. All right?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.